Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Great.
It's good to be back here again with you, on another Sunday
always
evening.
Always awesome.
Yeah.
I think we should talk about the Ascension.
Ooh, that would be spot on.
We don't do too much.
Because it's Ascension Sunday.
That's right.
Well, really, Ascension was Thursday.
We haven't really done much teaching about the Ascension over the years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. But I'm sure those of you that listen regularly probably say, oh, yeah, they did that once on May 29th of 2012 or something.
Yeah.
But I'd have to check the archives. But anyway, regardless of that, we're doing it now.
Yes, indeed.
But what an interesting thing. I mean, last week we talked about the Great Commission, which we took from Matthew's account. And then I think we'll start with Acts chapter 1.
Mm-hmm.
And this, of course, is Dr. Luke writing this. So he probably had a lot of firsthand information from everybody that he met about these things. And the beginning of the book of Acts is really kind of cool because it's kind of like the first chapter of it's kind of like a gospel for being finished up. You know, and then it goes into Pentecost and, ooh, Pentecost is next Sunday. Woo!
That's right.
Yeah. And you know, Acts chapter 2, of course, is very big in Pentecostal charismatic circles.
Very much so.
And then after chapter 1 of Acts, then it just becomes, like somebody once said, the book should be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit rather than the Acts of the Apostles.
Yeah.
But chapter 1 is, you know, it's kind of like a gospel. It's kind of like continuing the gospel
mm-hmm.
since Jesus is in it. And but anyway, why don't we just read it instead of talking about
sure.
it?
Sure. So this is Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
In the first book, Theophilus, I dealt with all that Jesus did and taught until the day he was taken up, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them by many proofs after he had suffered, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While meeting with them, he enjoined them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, about which you have heard me speak. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. When they had gathered together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He answered them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has established by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him from their sight. While they were looking intently at the sky as he was going, suddenly, two men dressed in white garments stood beside them. They said, Men of Galilee, why are you standing there looking at the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will return in the same way as you have seen him going into heaven. Mm-hmm. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away.
Hmm. That's neat. So I think first thing we should talk about is this is the beginning of the book of Acts. So when Jesus is done with his earthly ministry and ascends into heaven, now it's time for these guys to start doing something.
Yeah.
It isn't a matter of, okay, he was here. We had some great times together and he really taught us a lot of stuff. And I'm really glad we got to know him. And I'm really glad he impacted our lives.
Yeah.
And so now it's time to get to work.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought it was cool that he says, don't do anything yet. don't even try to do anything yet. Don't try to start a prayer group or go talk on the corner or go to the temple or, you know, don't do anything yet because it'll be a disaster. So you get up to wait a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And Luke ties it in with the fact that Jesus had done all these signs and wonders, and he was the anointed one. And now this was kind of the unfolding of the gospel, the unfolding of the plan, because now, and this is kind of another statement of the Great Commission, they have to go into all nations to make disciples. They have to go into all nations to preach this gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And now the work is going to start. And I think Luke there gives us an idea at the beginning where he says, you know, it's important to write down these things, because actually Luke wrote more of the New Testament than Paul did in terms of total words and total verses. So, you know, he thought it was important to write these things down because, you know, it was going to be important. I mean, and it still is important for us, you know, 20 centuries later,
mm-hmm.
to have these things written down.
Right.
But it was going to be very important for those early guys to have these things written down. This was a beginning. And so nobody could deny that these things had happened, because at the time he wrote this, there were still eyewitnesses around that saw the ascension happen.
Right, right. And, you know, the tradition in the church was mostly oral.
Yes.
We have to remember that.
Exactly.
They started writing things down, you know, years after Jesus had ascended into heaven.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as they were already had begun their public ministry of baptizing people and bringing people into the kingdom of God, they didn't start jotting things down that Sunday afternoon after the Holy Spirit fell. Go, oh, we got to write all this down.
They started journaling.
Peter, what did you say? I quoted Joel chapter 2. Okay, good. And then what else happened? No.
Then somebody said, I don't have the Joel chapter 2. Oh, wait a minute.
They did say that. No, I mean, you have to know that what was available to them were the scrolls.
Yes.
Of what would become to know as the Hebrew scriptures or the Old Testament.
Yes.
Okay, so as things transpired, they began writing things down so that the handing on of the faith, the catechesis, the making of disciples would continue, and that that these things would not be lost.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, oral tradition is very important, but it's important to keep it accurate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As well. So, he tells them, and you know, as Luke says, he presented himself alive to them by many proofs after he had suffered, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. Jesus tells them, wait here for the promise of the Father, about what you have heard me speak.
Yes.
For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
This was something that had never happened before.
Yes.
Now, the Holy Spirit had been poured out.
Yes.
The 72 elders, you know, the 72 started prophesying with Moses, but they only did that once.
Mm-hmm.
Now God's going to pour out the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit's going to remain.
Yes.
He's going to remain with you until the end, you know, until Jesus returns.
Mm-hmm.
Because the role of the Holy Spirit is to sanctify us,
mm-hmm.
remind us of all that Jesus taught us, and to lead us in all truth.
Right. You talked about this extensively in John's Gospel.
Yeah. And so the role of the Holy Spirit is critical to the life of the church.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all of it's critical to the life of the church, but you can't, what I'm saying is you can't leave one person of the Trinity out of the equation.
Right. And as he talks about in John, you know, 15 and 16 and 17, mm-hmm. like when the other paraclete comes, you know, he's going to do the things you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
So now he's reemphasizing that and saying, you've heard me talk about this. This is a promise. I mean, my Father promised it. I told you it was happening. Mm-hmm. I'm promising it too. So it's going to happen to you guys. And unlike other things in the scriptures, like sometimes there's a prophecy and we read it and then, you know, a few pages later we read about how it happened. But what you don't realize is that, you know, a few decades or a few hundred years has gone by. Here he actually limits it and says in a very few days in a few days, this is going to happen. So don't get discouraged thinking, oh yeah, this will happen 100 years from now. Because it's going to happen in a very few days.
And, you know, as you say that, that's true. Scripturally, as you look at this, this is one of the things that really literally took a few days to happen.
That's right.
9 days, as a matter of fact.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it had to be, and this had to happen in Jerusalem, because, of course, Messiah has to fulfill all the prophecies. Mm-hmm. And in Isaiah 2, it says the word of God goes forth from Jerusalem.
Exactly.
So he says specifically, you're going to start in Jerusalem. He didn't say, you guys get back up to Galilee and get started. Mm-hmm. So the word has to go forth from Jerusalem.
Right.
Because he's the king on the holy hill, and this is where God put his name. This is where Messiah died. This was the place of redemption.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the center of the life of the chosen people. So this is where it has to start. And he realizes, they wouldn't have realized it because they thought they were, you know, tough guys and they'd been around. I mean, they were tough guys physically.
Yeah.
But he knew, he knew they weren't ready for evangelism. I mean, this was not the birth of the church. I mean, you would think, wow, you know, I spent 3 years with Jesus and I just saw him ascend into the clouds. I'm going to go out and start telling people. I mean, that would be our human reaction.
Yeah.
He says, no, don't do that yet. don't do anything yet.
Yeah.
Because you have to be clothed with power from above.
A supernatural power.
Yes.
Not a human power, but a divine power.
Yes. That's right. And he's commanded them to do these things. They have no idea where they're going to go. There's going to be persecution from the Romans. There's going to be persecution from the Jews. There's going to be persecution. They have no idea what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And Peter, as you remember, you know, Peter denied him 3 times to a servant girl.
Yeah.
Not to a scary soldier, not to the high priest. But he was afraid of a servant girl. How would he withstand persecution?
Yeah.
So he says, you can't do it yet.
Yeah. And, you know, in this 9 days that they were praying and waiting for the fulfillment of this promise, I highly doubt that Peter was going through the scrolls and going, okay, let's see, you know, when this happens, I got to stand up and say something. What do I say?
That's right. I got to write down some notes.
Write down some notes, man. I got to let me write some things on my hands. So,
should I make a PowerPoint?
He had no idea what was going to happen, nor could he prepare for it.
Yes, exactly.
Nor could he humanly prepare for it.
Exactly.
Let's put it that way.
Exactly.
And this is the power of God and this is where a charism is important in the life of the church, because a charism is something that God gives you. You know, it's studying and being educated is good, but God can impart things to a human being through the gift of the Holy Spirit, even though they haven't studied something.
That's right.
And it's theologically and it's correct on all levels.
Yes.
And this is what's going to happen to the disciples, to the apostles in this 9-day period from the ascension into Pentecost.
Yeah. And if you flip forward a few chapters, you know, you see when Peter and John are talking to the Pharisees, kind of like this sort of trial.
Yeah.
And the Pharisees say, these guys aren't even educated.
Exactly.
How do they know all this stuff?
Yeah.
They're not even educated.
Yeah.
I mean, they hadn't been to yeshiva. They hadn't been to the seminary. They hadn't been to Bible college.
Right.
They hadn't studied under the Pharisees. When they got the spirit of truth, the spirit of knowledge, is also the spirit of comfort.
Exactly.
I mean, can you imagine if you're a fisherman in Galilee, like most of these guys were,
mm-hmm.
and somebody would have told you, you're going to be at the temple in front of the high priest and all his entourage, and they're going to be questioning you, you'd be like quaking in your boots.
Yeah.
Or sandals. But I mean, you would be so scared.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be like in our modern equivalent, you know, you're going to go to the Vatican and the Pope and the Cardinals are going to ask you some questions. And you'd be like, whoa, where are they going to, how, but Peter and John are there saying, hey, here's the deal, guys. Because now they have the spirit of truth. And, you know, Jesus always tells them when their persecution comes, don't worry about what you're going to say. Because the spirit's going to tell you what to say. You don't have to, like you said, you don't have to prepare your sermon. You don't have to prepare your defense.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to know what to say. You're just going to say it.
If you're living the Word of God and you're in the Word of God, it's not wrong to prepare something and have something ready, but
sure.
It should be so deep within your heart that you can speak of it and truth will come out from your words because that's what's living inside of you.
Yes.
And this is what discipleship is all about. Mm-hmm. The 3 years that the apostles spent with Jesus had more to do with their own inner faith, interior formation mm-hmm. than it did with the restoration
exactly.
of Israel.
Exactly.
As they were looking at it.
Exactly.
That was a time of preparation for them. Because then when all this happens, they can recount and go back, yeah, he did tell us that.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Oh, yeah. Remember we were there with the 100, when we caught that big group of fish and he said, put it out to this side, you're going to get a catch?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how did he? You know,
and
you know, the man that was born blind and he testifies before the high priest and stuff and the Pharisees and they ask him to repeat his story.
Yeah.
And then he says, why do you want to be his disciple too? And because of their pride and their status,
yeah.
they order him out.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And you know, the Holy Spirit reminds them of everything he said, and he said that was going to happen.
Yes.
And maybe even going back as he's saying this, we don't know what they knew about John the Baptist's early ministry, but John the Baptist said, you know, the one who's coming is going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit and in fire.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, in a very few days, you're going to be baptized
yeah.
with the Holy Spirit. And that should have, you know, that should have been a very sobering kind of thing.
Yeah, because if you think about it, John the Baptist, his words were not in the Hebrew Scriptures or the Old Testament.
Right, exactly.
This is all brand new.
Yes. Yeah, and they still, and to prove they still don't get this, are you going to establish the kingdom now?
Oh, yeah.
Are you going to establish the kingdom? He goes, wait a minute, guys, listen. I just told, no, he doesn't say that, but, you know, he tells them this beautiful commissioning, and then it's like, are you restoring the kingdom now?
Mm-hmm.
Right, like almost not even thinking about what he just said. And, you know, this was the idea of the Messiah being ruler and having the kingdom like David and Solomon did. And
mm-hmm.
But, you know, he's talking about the heavenly kingdom. They're still thinking in earthly ways. They're still thinking about the ways they've been brought up. Well, when Messiah comes,
yeah.
we're going to show those Gentiles a thing or two. And even though for 3 years they walked with him, they really didn't get, you know, what his kingdom was actually going to be. And the fact that when they heard, you know, they knew the reading from the book of Numbers about a portion of the spirit that was on Moses went on the 70 elders.
Right.
Including me, Dad, I know that, but you know, even though they weren't there.
Right.
And
what a foreshadowing that was.
They couldn't find a parking place and they were
well, like, yeah. parking spaces were at a premium back then, you know.
Yeah. And they knew that story. And now he's telling them, and I'm not saying if we were in their position, we would have understood it. Because
right.
we probably wouldn't have understood it.
Right.
We're looking at it from 2,000 years later.
Mm-hmm.
But as he's telling them this, he's also telling them in a very few days, you're going to get this poured out on you, and it's going to be an unlimited outpouring. It's going to be the total power of the Holy Spirit's going to come down on you because that's what's going to get you, give you the ability to do this great commission that I just gave you. You're going to be my witnesses here. As the Beatles would say, here, there, and everywhere, but it's in Jerusalem and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You're going to go to the nations and you're going to be my witnesses. Now that was not something Galilean fishermen really thought about, going to the ends of the earth and preaching about the Jewish Messiah, but that's what they all would do.
Mm-hmm.
So this is such a profound, you know, wait for the power. And we, of course, always try to do things in our humanity, right?
Right.
We say like, okay, here's the plan. You know, and you probably have people in your church that say, okay, here's the plan we're going to do. Well, the Holy Spirit might have a different plan, but if you're focused on your own plan, like Peter and those guys might have thought, hey, let's just go out and start doing it. Why do we have to wait here a few days? But the plan was the power had to come so they could be witnesses, so they could spread the gospel, so the Great Commission could be fulfilled, or else it wasn't going to be able to be done in their own abilities and their own power.
Exactly.
And the kingdom that he's talking about was different than the kingdom they're talking about. He's not talking about, oh, I'm going to be king like Solomon, and my kingdom's going to be really big, and you guys can be my cabinet, and, you know, we'll have an army. And
yeah, he's not talking about an earthly kingdom.
No, we'll get rid of these Romans, and we'll show the Gentiles a thing or two.
Yeah. Well, the heavenly kingdom that he's talking about, where is this at here? No, that's not what I want. Let me go back. Well, Jesus suffers, dies, and rises from the dead so that all power and authority can be given to him.
Yes.
And that everything, that he has dominion over everything.
Yes.
And so this is the power and the authority that he has. This is the kingdom that he has. And let's see here. I think it's in Mark. Yeah, Mark 16, where Jesus says, go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak new languages. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So then, the Lord Jesus, after he spoke to them, was taken up into heaven and took his seat at the right hand of God. But they went forth and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word through accompanying signs. So, and that's from the Gospel of Mark chapter 16.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jesus is taking his place at the right. He's ascending back into the glory that he had with the Father before the foundation of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And now, the disciples, this is for them to do through and in and through the grace of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Not on their own, not by their own power, but by God's power.
Amen.
That's important to understand. A lot of times we think, oh gosh, well, Jesus isn't here anymore, so it's just up to us.
That's right.
No, you're forgetting about the Holy Spirit.
Yes. That's an outstanding point, because we have, you know, even 2,000 years later,
mm-hmm.
we know the plan, but we don't know completely the plan.
Right.
We know the plan, and we know how salvation came about, and we know how all these things happened, but we don't know the whole plan.
Yeah.
We can't say, well, I think the plan is
right.
that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, the plan is the other thing.
And everybody has a part to play in it.
Yes, absolutely.
I'll never forget, back in Toledo in 1998, when a lady came up to me and said, you're going to be singing the praises of the Lord all the days of your life. I think wow. it was Psalm 86 or Psalm 68. And I thought, oh, okay.
Wow.
I didn't know what God's plan for me was at that time. And now I minister music
yeah,
in a church.
Yeah.
In two churches. So how was I to know that?
Yeah.
But that lady had that word for me.
Nobody ever told me that. But that's a good point, because you wouldn't have thought of that before that.
No, I didn't.
If somebody would have said to you, okay, so what do you think about God's kingdom? You'd have said, oh, I think it's really nice.
Yeah.
And I think you didn't necessarily know what your part was.
Right.
Until you got that word.
I mean, we had just been baptized in the Holy Spirit, so God was we were being reintroduced to God, if you will. We were finding things out about him.
Oh, yeah.
But I had no idea what God wanted me to do at that point in time.
Yeah. Wow.
Uh-oh.
Is this music already?
Is that the music? Oh, no, that's your life.
I still got more notes. Anyway, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray on this ascension, as we celebrate the ascension of the Lord Jesus into heaven, that you would receive the Holy Spirit with all of your heart, all of your mind, and all of your strength, that he can transform you into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ, and that you too would go and proclaim the gospel and the forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.